have always decorated their heads in some way, whether it's a ribbon or a hairband or, you know, the way they do their hair. It's human nature. Otherwise, we'd look, you know, Neanderthal.
I'm speaking with Irish milliner Philip Tracy, whose haute couture fantastic hats are chronicled in a new book with photographer Kevin Davies. Can I ask you just a little bit about your relationship with the late designer Alexander McQueen?
Yes.
And I don't want to get into anything painful.
When
the late designer's retrospective was staged at the Metropolitan Museum, did you and Alexander have a similar vision, would you say?
Yes, we did. We worked together for all his career. He had a fearlessness about design and fashion that was admirable. And I have the same fearlessness about hats. It's very easy to look at one of my hats and think, who is this crazy person making this crazy hat? But I am trying to make elegant and beautiful hats. And so did he. Our angle was beauty, but modern beauty. And we live in the 21st century, or he lived, and I still live. And that's what one's job is when one works in design and fashion today, because I should not be making 1950s hats, because we're not living in 1950, we're living in 2013. So I'm attracted to the future. I believe in the future. We need the future, otherwise we'd look the same.
I must talk about the future in the person of Kate Middleton and the royal wedding. You designed 36 hats for the wedding, and I think it's how a lot of Americans will know your work. What was that like for you as a designer?
Oh, it was one of the most exciting projects I've ever worked on, because usually I'm working for entertainers or designers, and there's an unreality to that, which is interesting because it's the world of illusion. Whereas what was exciting about this event was it was real people, it wasn't models. And everybody was going to the same event, so it was like approaching a military operation, so that nobody wore the same hat, nobody had the same color, nobody had the same styling. And it was an infectious experience because everybody was very excited. It was the biggest, greatest show on earth that day.
I want to ask before we close, have you ever had the occasion to make a hat for your mother after all these years?
Well, my mum died 20 years ago, and the only person I never made a hat for, that's a very interesting question you asked, that was my mother, because my mother didn't really, she preferred to make her own hats.
Hmm.
Can you believe that?
Well, that's because it's a mother, so, you know? There just has to be something
yes,
like that.
Yes, she was quite, I mean, she was intrigued by everything, but she didn't want one of my hats. She made her own.
That's milliner Philip Tracy. His hats are the subject of a new book by photographer Kevin Davies. Be sure to check some of them out on our website at npr.org. And Philip, it has really been fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
If you're just joining us, this is Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. You may already have heard of the young singer-songwriter Kacey Musgraves. She's getting a lot of buzz. The artistry in her haunting lyrics can be heard on the NBC television series Nashville. Now she has a debut album, same trailer, different park. It comes out next week.
You sure look real pretty in your glass house. You probably think it's too good to take the trash out.
Kacey Musgraves is joining us from Nashville, Tennessee. Kacey, I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Talk about being a singer when you're just beginning to find your way in this tiny town, Golden, Texas.
Well, so I grew up in Golden, and it's super small. There's nothing really there. There's like one little store. So I went to high school just outside of that in a town called Mineola. And it was a little bigger. It was about 5,000 or 6,000 people. I was the girl who sang growing up, you know, just pretty much anywhere in public that I could.
Here we get a sense of place in this single, Merry-Go-Round.
If you ain't got two kids by 21, you're probably gonna die alone. At least that's what tradition told you. And it don't matter. Same hurt in every heart.
You you know, what really speaks to me in those lines, if you ain't got two kids by 21, would have applied to a lot of people I went to high school with. And in merry-go-round, you know, you've taken a little heat for some of these kinds of lines because it doesn't paint the iconic picture of small-town life. And in fact, there's a certain point of view that says it was an anti-country music song. Did you see it that way?
I mean, I had one guy, I think, on the radio tour say, this is the anti-country song. And I had to say, I'm sorry, no, it's just the anti-small mind song, anti-settling. But yeah, I'm all about small towns. I really am. I think it's a great place to grow up. But I think it might be a little more comforting to some people to hear it from a real perspective instead of one that tries to sweep things under the rug.
Mary, Mary, quack and trail.
So I am really wondering who you're channeling for this writing. I know you got some great teaching in your earlier years, but you seem like such a natural writer.
Thank you. Well, I hope that's because I love it so much. Yeah, I did have some early influences that pushed me to write and stick with it. And then once I kind of wrapped my brain around the whole process and creating a song and what all goes into that, I fell in love with it. It's like putting a puzzle together.
You know, your wordplay is so sophisticated. Let's listen to a little bit of Silver Lining, and then I want to ask you about songwriting. Your parents are still, are they anywhere living near Golden still?
They are. They're actually, yes.
They're there.
Yeah.
Now, they run a printing shop. I just was wondering if that gave you a sense of being surrounded by words at all?
Yeah, for sure. They were always conjuring up some sort of wordplay or visual something. I mean, they're super creative.
So you moved from Golden to Austin when you were only 18 years old, and not very long after that, you moved to Nashville to record your first record deal. Music Row, very different parts of the South. What was running through your mind as that was going on? I mean, here you are, and you're in, it's often called Nash Vegas.
It felt good. It was a little, you know, daunting, of course, moving away, but I really wanted to immerse myself in the songwriting community, and I knew that there was one here that was pretty unparalleled. So with some encouragement from a couple people that I knew here, Rodney Foster was one of them. He is somebody I sang backup for a while, and he basically just told me that you got to be present to win, and that really made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. So you've written a couple of songs for the ABC show Nashville, including the song Undermine, which was featured prominently in one episode. Let's listen a little bit to Undermine.
And if I only had one shot, one wasted on a shadow box, I stand right here.
Okay, follow me, Travis.
And it's all talk, 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 talking in the wind. It only slows you down if you start listening. And it's a whole lot harder.
So you've written songs for TV, for other country music stars, and you said a moment ago that you really enjoyed being a lyricist, but you seem to be making quite a name for yourself as a performer. How, you know, you've been on tour. In your head, what do you think of yourself as being?
Well, I mean, there's definitely both there, but I don't think you can really have one without the other. If I had to ultimately choose, I'd probably choose songwriting.
Let's talk about another track on this record. This one's called Follow Your Arrow.
Straight arrow gets a little too straight. Roll of the joint.
about these lyrics, Casey. What's the story behind them? You got kiss lots of boys, kiss lots of girls, if that's what you're into, roll up a joint. And I'm just sitting here thinking, wow, this is a long way from, you know, Okie from Muskogee. Maybe country music's a bigger tent than I thought. What's going on here?
Really, Follow Your Arrow is just a song about living the way you want to live, loving who you want to love, and having fun doing so. And, you know, it's one of my favorites off the album because sonically, I feel like it really channels people that I love, like Glen Campbell or even Loretta. But the idea is a little more modern, I guess you'd say.
I would have to say, I would have to agree.
Thank you. Well, that's important to me. I mean, if you don't have something to say or somewhat of a point of view, I mean, then what do you have? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the whole point, you know?
Right. Well, we also want to say congratulations to you on your nomination for Female Vocalist of the Year from the Academy of Country Music.
Thank you. Oh, so crazy. So crazy.
You got some really impressive company there.
I do, yeah.
Miranda Lambert, Martina McBride. Mm-hmm. But I think you sound exactly like Kacey Musgraves.
That means a lot to me. I love that compliment, mainly because I just feel like I want to be the first me, not the next anybody else.
Kacey Musgraves. Her new album is called Same Trailer, Different Park. This weekend you can listen to every track on the album for free at NPR's exclusive First Listen. Just go to nprmusic.org. Kacey, it's really been fun, and it would be fun to catch you in person sometime, and I hope a lot of people can do that.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Our program is directed today by Becky Hersher. The production staff includes Lily Percy, Phil Harrell, Amy Held, Liz Baker, and Acacia Squires. Our interns are Annie Russell and Rachel Rood. Our weekend web producers are Melissa Goh, Stephanie Federico, Krishna Dev Kolamore, and Dana Farrington. The technical director is Rob Berman. At the operations desk, Tom Woodward. Our reference librarian is Key Maleski. Mathoni Maturi is senior editor, and Steve Lichtai is the senior producer. And for Saturday, that's Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. Check out our podcast. Find it at npr.org/weekendatc or on the NPR app. It's called Weekends on All Things Considered. We're back on the radio tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night. I smoke to breathe. Just look what love has done to me.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations. And from RDO, a digital music service allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere, RDIO.com. From the Walton Family Foundation, whose K-12 initiative works to empower families with quality school choices, WaltonK12.org. And from Road Scholar, offering travel adventures for people who love to learn, at roadscholar.org. Think outside the tour. This is NPR.
10 years on, the Iraq war planners say they largely succeeded.
I think we met our narrow national security objectives. This is a regime that is not supporting terror.
The future, though, seems uncertain for everyone. It's Saturday, March 16th, on All Things Considered, from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. Our cover story, an Iraq war anniversary looms, a soldier can't forget.
It's something that I struggle with almost every day.
And a very private, most unexpected interview.
And about a month ago, I noticed that at Lance Armstrong followed me on Twitter.
So he followed Lance. Also, when Philip met Kate Middleton, milliner Philip Tracy of County Galway wowed the royal family and the world.
America brought us the baseball cap. It's one of my favorite hats.
And country singer Kacey Musgraves' new album, same trailer, different park. That's after this hour's news.